One Up Network Radio, and you've got the One Up Your Show for May 5th. Welcome to Cinco de Mayo and the week before E3, guys.
Should have bought beer.
Hola, hola.
It's a little early in the morning for that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like, early in the morning for beer? Come on.
I feel like I just...
I've seen you in the morning drinking beer.
It's cocktail hour somewhere.
That's right. So let's see, what do we got on this show? We're going to start off with our usual what you've been playing. We'll go through our question of the week stuff from last week. Then in the second segment, we're going to talk about behind the scenes, what we're doing to get ready for E3 next week, what we want to see at the show. And we'll probably also get into maybe a little Luke looking into his crystal ball, telling us the predictions. I'm sure Shane might have some predictions too. And then, in the end, we'll do our usual news wrap-up, including a Al-Qaeda update. And you can't hardly beat a news update without Al-Qaeda in it. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. That's video games and terrorism.
Match made in heaven. All right, so I'll let everybody say hello, and we'll get rolling.
Hello. Can I make some predictions as well? I'm feeling a bit left out of the,
sure.
The whole prediction thing. You should too.
Yeah, well, I could predict, yeah. All right. So we'll all make predictions.
I think Skips likes me best.
He does like
my name on there.
They kind of
favoritism.
There's a lot of loot going on here.
You ever seen them trade glances?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe we should discuss trade more later.
I think we trade more than glances.
Right.
Oh boy.
So yeah, we got John. That was John. We also have Luke.
I'm back. Sorry.
And Shane. This is like the power quad.
It's dangerous.
We got the super lineup.
Yeah. There were lots of people walking around going, "Oh, you going down to the podcast? I thought we were going to have a big crowd today."
Yeah, well,
I know, but
it was a little
some bleachers.
I actually liked. It was last week. It was like a little too crowd, like too much going.
Yeah,
on. Like I like it better when it's just us.
I couldn't focus on Luke enough. Yeah.
Me too, Luke.
Yeah.
Don't get jealous, Skip. It's okay, buddy. It's all right. All right. So, what have you guys been playing? Anybody actually playing games? Or are we all just working?
I'm playing games for work.
Oh,
for review.
I saw you playing an awesome game.
What was that you were playing when I walked by and was offended?
The three different people came by and were offended by the font in the game, which is a strange criticism.
Wow.
To have. And the game is called Urban Chaos Riot Response by IDOS.
So they just like puked up four words that.
Well, what's funny?
They totally
made
sense.
What's funny is Urban Chaos. IDOS already released a crappy game called that. Called for PS1.
Oh, so this is a different crappy game?
I'm not saying this game is crappy, but it's a shooter. It's kind of straightforward. It's the kind of thing you're seeing coming out current gen out of Europe right now.
It's such a you know what that is? That's that game. That's that SCI game that's been at E3 for like 2 years.
It is an SCI game.
And remember, it was the one where they were like, it was, what was it called? Riot Response or something?
Right.
And you were supposed to be able to call in like the fire department.
It's very patriotic. You're like fighting, you're like a fireman and you're fighting terrorists.
Right, but it was way more complex when they first had it because you were like hiding behind the shield and you would like call in the fire department to help you out.
That all still happens. You can play it yourself.
So do you call in like the fire and the ambulance guys and all that kind of stuff?
What's up with the font?
It's less cool.
let's get to the important issue here. What's wrong with the font?
It's probably under embargo. But in better news...
and you know how we get into trouble for breaking embargo.
In happier news, I'm playing through New Super Mario Brothers and it's really awesome.
Are you allowed to talk about that?
Yeah, it comes out like next week.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it's Nintendo, so you know.
It's awesome. There you go.
Whoa.
So anyone Nintendo listening, he loves it. That makes it a good thing.
Love it.
Yeah.
Super. All right. John, you playing anything?
I was playing the Loco Roco demo a little bit earlier.
Nice.
It's been a difficult week to play much stuff this week.
For sure.
Yeah.
And the usual, which,
horse armor.
How far are you along in the regular line now?
Regular line, I haven't moved, but I finished the Dark Brotherhood quest. I finished the Arena quest, and I'm about... I just started it on the Thieves quest, which I'm getting kind of a bit bored with.
How many hours have you spent on this game?
35 or something.
This Oblivion Geek sponsored segment brought to you by...
It's really not that much, though.
Not really. Not for an RPG.
No. I mean, it's just at night for an hour,
And so it's cool, because that is one of the cool things about the game, is you can sit in and play it for an hour.
Yeah, do one little thing. And
can you quit whenever you want?
Yes, you can.
Oh, I'm sure I can. Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. Luke?
I can't quit whenever I want. That's why I'm still playing World of Warcraft. Sorry. We killed the boss that we talked about a couple weeks ago, the unkillable thing. We killed that this week. That was cool. And then I've been playing Brain Age, and I have like Brain Age guilt.
When you came back and he's like, where have you been?
No, earlier this week I missed 2 days. So
missed a week and I couldn't pick it up again.
Instead of manning up and being like, that's fine, I'm just going to see what this dude says when I miss a day, I just changed the clock on my DS and just stepped back.
No,
that is Brain Age right there. That's smart. He outsmarted the damn machine.
Yeah, I was like, what's my Brain Age now, bitch? And he was like, it is so good to see you back today. I was like, that's right. It's almost like I wasn't here. Guess what? You're going to see me again in 35 seconds and it's going to be tomorrow.
you see that dude, Dr. Takashi, stream or whatever, if he's at E3, you're going to feel really guilty when he looks at you with his judgmental
eyes. He's going to look at you and he's going to know.
He's going to know.
That's fine.
No, he's going to look at him and say, dude, that was really smart. He's, you obviously learned from the brain
age. He's going to look at me and go, thanks for the new car. I like it.
I've been in the same boat as you. I haven't really been playing anything. Last weekend, I did a quick playthrough of Rise and Fall for PC, mm-hmm. which was that crazy strategy game crossed with Dynasty Warriors. It was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we have a preview up. You can check it out. But really, the game they did is like the Rome.
Midway, that game?
Well, yeah, Midway's publishing it. This is that game that was
I know what it is.
That was Stainless Steel Studios, where like last Christmas, all of a sudden, the studio closed its doors and there was that big hubbub over what happened, and you know, who cares? Anyway, the game was almost finished then, but they've been working on the multiplayer side, which looks like it'll be cool because the big thing for the game is that you can jump into your general and lead the charge, like Dynasty Warrior style, in front of a big army that you've been laying out RTS style.
So it's like an RTS, but you can jump in and play like hack and slash.
Yes, exactly. Which is really cool.
No one's really done that yet.
Yeah. No one's really done that. And in multiplayer, I can see it being really cool. Because you'd jump in and you'd be like, oh, hey, that dude I'm like clicking at is actually the guy on the other end of the computer. So that's cool. So it was pretty neat. Could be good. Could be good. It really slows down your computer. The graphic requirements are really high.
The wave of indifference that went through everybody then.
Hey, man.
I probably won't play that.
But I have nothing. It doesn't affect me at all.
Yeah,
it doesn't affect me.
You know, RTS is
I'm
a really small market.
His desire to play it.
It's really hard to review in short windows of time, too.
Yeah, they are really hard. That sounds like a blog topic I've read somewhere. Should I save that, or should I just go into that rant now? Because that's a big rant.
I kind of queued it up.
All right.
Oh, well, is this a different thing? Or are you jumping ahead?
No. So the Rise of Legends is like, I've been like the same way, apathetic about real-time strategy games. I used to be really into them, Command & Conquer, that kind of stuff, but I kind of lost the buzz. And now... Here comes Rise of Legends, the first game I picked up for a strategy game in like 3 years that I was like, fuck, this is really cool. I'm totally digging this. So it's coming out when? Oh, Wednesday of next week. Brilliant. Let's put a game out in the middle of E3 when, I don't know, people might be talking about Wii or 360.
A million other things, right?
And on top of all that, they've been playing this game of, oh, we're going to get you the review code. So we got the review code yesterday afternoon. And the embargo for when we can post reviews is today.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Just a little strategy game, three distinct sides, you know, probably what, 20, 30 hours worth of campaign plus multiplayer.
What are you doing here?
I have no idea.
Wasting your time talking nonsense? Go back up there and play it.
It's going to be a hell of a review, kids.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, actually, it is going to be a great review because what happened is even though I was super gung-ho about it, which, by the way, if you're in PR and you have like an editor at a publication that's excited about your product, it's probably good if they do the review for you. No, I won't be doing that review. It's sent off to a freelancer who's not going to E3. He'll be able to play it all next week, but and that's fine as far as the review part. What I really don't get is why do you put it out in the middle of E3? It's not like you didn't know E3 was going to be there. It's not like the game hasn't been delayed before. Same thing with Sin Episodes. When's that releasing? Wednesday of next week.
Well, Valve they're a little crazy, with their security.
And I guess
for Half-Life 2, you had to go there and play it while they watched you.
Right, and Sin, and they offered the same thing for Sin, and which we don't travel into reviews.
The issue really is with the strategy game, it's more the awareness. I mean, it doesn't really matter. I mean, big picture, it doesn't really matter that it's out during E3 because it's more the getting the coverage and the awareness out. I mean, if you walk into a store and there's
exactly
a new next week, there's a new PC game, it's in a genre that you've not heard of before, but not many people have heard of it.
Right.
You were talking about it a couple of minutes ago, and I can't remember its name.
It's a memorable title.
Rise and Fall, like, Up and Down.
Okay. I think it's
Rise of Legends. So that's exactly my point. And the people I feel worse for is the team that's been spending 2 years of their lives working their asses off to make this a really great game that gets screwed because, we can't release it like a week or two later.
Who's it published by?
Big Huge. It's the guys who did Rise of Nations.
Okay.
So Midway is not publishing it.
No, this is a separate game. This is an entirely separate
totally
game.
Confused.
Rise of Legends, yeah. Okay. Rise of Legends is a whole other game. There's lots of rising in real-time strategy.
Yeah, Garnett, I'm sure we're all really upset about you. Let's talk. What do you got, Luke?
I'm sorry. Would you? If I put Sony on the side of my PC, would that make it better?
Sony
makes PCs. They're quite good.
They suck. They so suck.
They have really pretty keyboards. They're like blue.
Dude, I had a friend who had a Sony laptop, and it was the worst because he had bought like the one that's like got the high-end graphics card so he could play games on it. Yeah, they never updated the graphics drivers. So he was screwed. All right, so that's my rant. I don't get it. PC games, if you want to be big, pay attention to your marketing schedules. Make sure that your games that are hot, that could be big, have a chance to breathe. This game would have been huge 2 weeks after E3. It would have had the limelight. Instead, it's going to be lost, and it's going to have to earn it a much more difficult road.
And PC developers, if you want to make money, release your game on consoles.
Not Rise of Legends. It doesn't fit there. Anyway, whatever. All right. So we talked about in-game advertising.
Totally, just forgot.
Talk about in-game advertising last week, and John has a whole bunch of stuff for us.
I have notes. So our question last week was, are you okay with some in-game advertising if it offsets the cost of the game and makes them cheaper? Which I think we realized afterwards was ultimately somewhat self-defeating, because all it means is that the publishers make more money.
Right.
As a lot of people made the point of, was that, you know, Fight Night has Burger King shit all over it, and it's still $60 on Xbox 360. So the theory doesn't work. But most people seem to be okay with the idea. Jim Guido, it is okay, but only if the locations of the advertisements make sense. Case in point, billboards in racing games. Everyone seems to be into, yeah, it's okay, sports games, it's okay with contemporary games with billboards and stuff, but in-your-face stuff seems to worry people. A lot of worry about anything historical or fantasy and how that would work.
Oh, yeah, that would be a mess.
Mountain Dew in Warcraft.
Mountain Dew.
Worries about that kind of thing.
Better never happen.
Drop into your local Burger King in Oblivion.
Bowley said, if I'm playing Day of Defeat, I better not see ads in there unless they're old 1940s ads and not contemporary ads made to look old, which was kind of interesting. Everyone would like to see it drive the price down, but, you know, I have a feeling it's just never going to happen. I don't think we're going to see the $29 game because it's packed full of ads anytime soon.
I don't think game publishers are very interested in passing the savings along to consumers.
No, they're interested in putting the money, you know.
What was EA's report? What was their loss?
They were down, what?
It's half what it was last year.
They were down 53% year over year. Yeah.
So,
you should put some decent stuff out.
We're all kind of skeptical right now because of the... Let's make a comparison. We're all kind of skeptical of corporations right now because of the whole gas price thing, right? Do you think that maybe publishers, that people...
What the hell?
Right.
Next week on Current Events.
Follow me for a second.
Garnett has a point that he's getting to.
Use your brain age.
Please continue your evil conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking.
Gas companies are fucking with games, man.
Do you think?
They're fucking with everything.
Bush is keeping the games down. He doesn't care about
gamers. So we're talking about video games, and it's like, I think now's a good time to discuss gas prices.
Yeah. And Al-Qaeda and
some other just
fuck this shit, man. It's all dust. All right, get on with it. Come on. 20 seconds. Get to your point.
Conspiracy theories, do you think that game publishers are going to try and just slide advertising in without adjusting price so that they can make more money?
Yeah, they're always going to try and slide it in. That's what the game industry is about, is publishers
just
fucking
wait till next week, they'll be sliding it in all over the place.
Yeah, that's all it is. That's exactly what
all
it's
about. All of a
sudden,
it just gets slid right in.
when you get your hands on that application.
No, but yeah, we're going to see more advertising, not less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And more advertising, not less, and still people
and
getting jumped.
Well, there'll be the $60 game, and then there'll be more $70 games. And we have a lot of people on the boards from Europe and Australia and stuff. The Australians get a hard time. $100 for a game there.
I know.
I mean, with the exchange rate, but it's still, like, even on PS2, it works out like $60.
Well, in England, games are more expensive, too.
It's like...
Yeah, but they get to live in Australia and talk cool.
This is true.
Compensation.
They have sharks nearby.
Didn't mean to push you guys, like, you know, mental abilities there to jump from.
How,
like,
are the,
you know,
gas prices in Australia?
Actually, they're really high.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an island. I'm sure it's a bitch to ship to.
Okay. Don't we do a break or something?
We have to go into next week's. Yeah, so next week's thing.
Next week's question. What was it?
It was. I think it was game E3 related.
Oh yeah, we want. Well, should we talk about E3 first and then have people and then do the question?
So question of the week after the break.
Yeah,
I like that.
We shouldn't do these things early in the morning.
All right, question of the week after the break. You're listening to the One Up Yours podcast on the One Up Radio Network.
Listen to EGM Live to hear Electronic Gaming Monthly editors take you beyond the pages of the magazine.
Extended impressions of the hottest games.
Shocking celebrity guest stars.
Exterminate all
the newest video game soundtracks.
That's EGM Live, available at egmlive.oneup.com or the iTunes Music Store.
All right, and I don't know if we're ever going to be ready, but we might as well start talking about E3 because this is the last chance before we're there.
It's nearly upon us.
It is nearly upon us.
It's nigh.
And you will be getting updates from us every damn day of the week, courtesy of Mr. Andrew Pfister and his excellent work procuring all kinds of equipment and stuff for us.
Got a mobile studio.
We have a whole new mobile rig to take down there, so...
Show every day.
We'll have a show every day in the evening.
I'm thinking next Friday's show is going to be kind of
interesting. Next Friday's show is going to be poolside with a bottle of wine.
Yeah, and we're going to be hungover and fed up.
I expect kind of hungover and fed up all next week.
Yeah,
I'm just going by what Skip's told me, though.
I want to see Luke in rare form. That's what I want.
He's in rare form every day.
You want to see me naked?
No, he wanted to see you with lots of furry stuff on the outside. Remember,
we are going to make best efforts to get guests next week, aren't we?
Yes.
I mean, we are going to go across the floor and drag people back to our booth and try and get them, even if it's only for 30 seconds.
Right, and in cases where we don't have the ability to drag them back, we've got some new digital recorders, so we'll be over talking to people, interviewing them, see what kind of clips we can bring in. So you will be hearing real developer-type people on the show.
Yeah.
That's pretty scary. Like he crosses his fingers. What, you don't think we'll have him there?
Oh, yeah, we're going to have Miyamoto, Kojima, Iwata, Kuragi stop by maybe.
Che Allard maybe.
Che Allard.
Fourth dimension.
There'll be some fourth dimension shit going on, definitely.
So
did we miss anything? What else did you want us to get across as far as like what we're going to be doing to get ready for these guys?
That's about it.
That's it? All right, the producer man's happy, so let's move on to the games.
Let's talk about the E3.
Let's talk about the E3s. What do you want to see, Shane?
First?
What do you want to see? What's the first thing you're walking in to look at?
Nintendo Wii, obviously.
Whoa.
No question.
There's no Sony on that. You realize that doesn't have
Sony. Well, I mean, Sony PlayStation 3, is, I've explained in the past, is like an eventuality. It's going to happen regardless of how you feel about it or anything. It is what it is. Whereas Wii is like crazy and innovative and like batshit insane, balls out idea that no one's ever played before. Whereas like I know exactly how every PlayStation 3 game is probably going to play. Whereas like Nintendo Wii, you walk up there. It's all new.
So that's the innovation he's been talking about with Sony. You already know exactly how everything's going to play.
Actually,
Sony
does have a few surprises, and I've heard about a few PS3 games that they're going to demo that are really out there and crazy and more like what you'll be seeing in Nintendo's booth. But I don't think those are going to be playable for the general public. I think that's more like conceptual stuff.
I think everything we're going to hear from Sony is going to be just big names. This game's on exclusive on. It's going to be Battle of the Exclusives all damn week. And Nintendo's distancing themselves from it because all their stuff's so wacky and first party that it doesn't matter. So it's going to be all about GTA, Final Fantasy, Gran Turismo, Halo. Everyone's going to be saying, only on this platform. The Sony press conference is going to be all that. It's just going to be a list.
Yeah, but I've actually heard now that there is, I hate to use the term here, but at the end of the Sony press conference, there is some sort of megaton announcement that is unexpected. And will, like, this announcement will change how you feel about PS3, apparently. I've heard that from...
That be?
I've been trying to figure it out, and, like, apparently it's not just, like, one game.
It's not GTA.
It's not just one game.
Because GTA wouldn't really be a megaton. It would be more of a megaton if Microsoft busted that out.
Well, and we've also been hearing World of Warcraft, but, like, that is not substantiated yet. I mean, that would be a huge megaton deal.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, Blizzard on their jobs page is hiring for network development for PS3 now.
Too, yeah. So. I mean, and, like, you know, people within Blizzard are totally denying that rumor, but... Of course they will. It's their job. I think that could be it. I'm not going to say it right here that they're going to announce.
It's the biggest game in the world right now. But,
If at Sony's press conference, they're like, oh, yeah, also World of Warcraft at launch, that's pretty big.
If they bring out Infinium Labs, I'm going to laugh.
They won't bring it.
I think that I was saying this. I was talking with John about the World of Warcraft thing earlier this week. Like, World of Warcraft looks awesome on paper as far as getting it for a console, but in actual practice, based on the way that World of Warcraft operates, bringing it to the PS3 is a mistake because the entire endgame of World of Warcraft is substantiated by these add-ons that are user-created, and I don't think that PS3 Online will have the infrastructure at launch to support this user community, bring in all these, like,
unless there's
all
some
these
wacky way of bringing it across from the PS3. I mean, the other thing about World of Warcraft, if it happens, is that, you know, there's 5 million people playing it. I don't see the PS3 version as really growing the market, just moving it around.
Probably.
It's another platform, and a bunch of people want to play it on the couch.
I don't play World of Warcraft, and I would play it on PS4.
Really?
So. You know what? You wouldn't enjoy it.
I felt that way about Final Fantasy XI. I saw Milky playing it every day, and there's guys on OPM that play it every day.
Maybe 4 years ago, but now.
I tried the 360 version. It's the second time I've tried 11, and it's just impenetrable to me.
It's far too antiquated now.
Yeah.
It's a control interface thing, though, because 11 was made to be played with a controller. So even when you play it on PC, you play it with a controller. World of Warcraft was designed to be played with mouse and keyboard, and
it should be on Wii then.
Oh God! I just threw up in my mouth a little.
Shane about dumps the headsets off the back.
That's great, buddy. So what are you guys excited about? Nothing, Luke? Luke's excited about nothing.
No, I'm actually really excited to see what Bungie has in store. I think anyone who's listened knows that I'm a big fan of Bungie.
I don't think you'll be seeing much developed by Bungie at this E3. In fact, anything.
I think it'll be like a logo.
Things related to Bungie.
Things related to Bungie
franchises.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, exactly. I'm excited to see that.
Okay.
Whatever it is that.
Whatever this mythic, non-existent
Halo product is.
Halo related product is, right?
There was a thing this week, did you see, that apparently there was some Halo game that was actually half done for Gizmondo.
Yeah, for Gizmondo.
It used the camera for the mouse look.
Wow.
It was at GameSetWatch.com.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I think Simon or something wrote it up there.
Because for whatever reason, some idiot at Microsoft thought that thing was a good idea to jump into bed with.
Oh, I also thought
maybe he was a member of the Mafia too. Who knows?
Another reason to be excited for Sony's press conference. You should bring your PSP because I think they're going to let you download PS1 games at the press conference.
Actually included in the invitation. It says make sure to bring your PSP.
It doesn't say why, but I believe
it does. Actually, it says right there for downloadable content.
Oh, but I believe they're PS1 games. That's what I heard.
So it's not the Loco Roco demo.
No, I hear PS1 games.
Yeah, they did that at GDC.
Wow.
They wouldn't revisit that.
So I could play games on my PSP that I played on my PS1 7 years ago, and I'm already playing games on my PSP that look just like my PS2. This sounds great. Awesome. I'm going to totally bring it with me. That's a great idea. You know what else I should do? Buy some UMD movies.
You should.
I mean, it's like... What? Bring your PSP for fucking PS1? Great, Crash Bandicoot.
Hey,
I'm there.
Tomb Raider sold lots of N-gauges.
Sweet.
It did it? I think the funny thing is, I think next year E3 will be looking at the new PSP, so...
Is Kutaragi's fourth dimension retarded? Like, is that the fourth dimension? like you're now entering the retarded zone.
Luke, obviously you don't understand what digital carpe diem is.
Has everybody seen that? Did you see that?
I heard from the other side of the office over at EGM, Shane go, Carpe Diem!
So yesterday, Sony put up their official website for PS3. All it was like this teaser image of the PS3 hardware. It looks like a monolith with like this paragraph.
The Kubrick estate's already filed the suit.
The paragraph was pretty out there. It talked about how it's going to like reinvent your reality and 4D time plus.
Yeah. Whatever. How many times has your reality been redefined?
Daily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of depends on what kind of drugs you take.
Were any parts that couldn't fit in the system sticking out of it?
Yeah, there was some like wires hanging out.
You know, you all want it to fail, but it's going to be solid. It's going to be solid.
Wait a minute. I want PS3 to fail.
It does.
I don't want any of them to
fail. Why the hell would I want it to fail?
No, your heart is cold and black.
I just want game companies and like the big three to make smart choices that give consumers viable options. And like... Let's face it, the launch of systems
It started.
Sucks.
This is, by the way, mark the time. This is the Luke rant.
I've said it on the message boards 1,000 times. Like, system launches universally are bad.
Usually.
We're not going to see a great launch from PS3. Like PS2,
why?
Giant monolith of awesome that it is.
So if there are like three really good games, that's a good launch to me.
Three really good games is not, that's... Just not enough reason.
It's enough
for mine.
It's only about $150 a game for your hardware plus whatever the game costs. It's not bad.
Yeah, I don't, the whole like wait in line thing, like this whole mentality of like, well, Sony better convince me to buy this PS3, and it's like, well, actually, no, they don't have to because there are enough people who will buy it at launch, and you will eventually, all you people who play games,
day one is
irrelevant. Play PS3.
They're going to put 300,000 units out day one, and it'll sell out in 5 minutes.
Yeah,
the whole mentality is like, Sony better come suck my dick to buy a PS3. No, like you're going to buy a PS3, you're going to buy a PS3.
Wow, that was shame. Bettenhausen, executive editor EGM.
That was hot.
That was hot.
No, it was.
Especially with what you missed out
was he
had the double hand signals.
Like the Generation X.
He was gesturing towards his penis while he was doing that.
And his eyes were kind of glittering. Did you see that?
He was excited.
I get so angry whenever I see people who are like, well, they better really roll out the big guns. Like, no.
You better roll out the big guns.
They're going to roll out the big guns via press conference, via here's an image of something we're working on to get people excited. Like, that's what... I think the PS3 strategy at E3 is going to be, aside from like having some jank that's playable,
well, yeah, their strategy,
it's going to be like, guess what's coming eventually.
Right. Well, I don't think there's going to be a lot that's actually playable. I think we'll get to watch other people playing, and we'll get to watch a lot of video,
that's
but
exciting.
I doubt very much we're going to get our hands on much.
Yeah, a lot of controlled situations.
What I've heard is that all the games, third-party and first-party, there were like a lot of games that were possibly going to be playable, and like Sony like individually went to each game, like played it, decided if it was good enough to have
to
playable
play,
to the
yeah.
general public. And the
I think
games,
that makes sense.
And the games that are playable, I think there's around 15 of them in Sony's booth, they wait in line to play them, they're upstairs, are all going to be pretty good. Hopefully.
Well, that's great.
Is that an express pass that we get for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Velcro. I'd like to talk about something that's not console that I think is going to be big at E3. And I think that PC stuff, I think Microsoft's Games for Windows thing is going to be... I mean, I think that a lot of the press on it is going to be Microsoft finally taking PC games seriously and encouraging publishers and developers to treat it like a console and put money behind it and stop.
You don't think that the quarter two 2007 launch of Vista is a problem, though?
I think Vista's irrelevant in this. I think it's making sure that they're pushing PC as a good gaming platform and getting the right games on it and treating it more like a console.
Yeah, smartest thing they did was bring that PC game group into their overall gaming group and make it all unified.
I think we're going to see some really, really strong PC games at E3, and I think that coupled with what's happening with graphics technology and PCs getting cheaper and laptops getting cheaper and more viable for gaming, I think there's going to be some really cool PC stuff.
My question would be, why differentiate PC and 360 at this point?
I think long term, I think we're going to see the lines blurred. I think for the time being, it is too disparate.
I'm just afraid that Microsoft might seem like it's trying to do two fronts, two different battles, when they could be unifying now and like strengthening in one push.
But you'll be holding the PC back, because as it always happens, you know, the consoles will almost catch up to PC, but then the PC hardware is going to go sailing off into the future again because it's not controlled by, we have to set a platform.
Well, this comes back to what was kicking around a few years ago when, you know, the PC was going to go away and everything was going to be some kind of digital appliance and that had its own function. There'd be the little web tool and then the gaming tool and the entertainment box, and it's going back to that in a different way now. I think it's like cheaper PCs. And I mean, the 360 is a PC.
Yeah.
You know, it can run Windows, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
And you know, Xbox Live is a variation on MSN Messenger, really.
We won't even go into how retarded it is that they keep Live segregated to their console service.
Right. I mean, I'm sure we'll see some interesting announcements that bring some parity.
Have you seen Crysis, the DX10 demonstration?
Crysis looks, yes,
Crysis,
that's going to be...
It is the best-looking game I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, I think that's...
On DX10.
On DX10.
So this brings us to what is the question of the week that we want feedback on, and that is, what do you think is going to be the hottest thing at E3? And like, when you read all the press next week, what do you think is going to be the thing that gets all the attention? And don't say hardware,
so,
that's obvious.
So the question,
games.
The question,
what games
the question
are going to be?
Isn't what do you think will be the best game in
no,
E3?
No, what do you think is going to get the attention?
Most attention. All right.
I think there's some obvious ones, things like Gears of War. I think Crysis is another obvious one. Yeah. And I think it's inevitable that Spore is going to get a lot of hype.
Hello, Kojima Productions.
I think that...
Yeah.
Possibly, it depends what they do. We've all seen Metal Gear Solid 4 demo
already.
Well,
that's never hurt them before, though. They can trot a new demo out.
That doesn't mean it's going to be the most talked about thing.
It'll be the best trailer at E3, bar none.
But I think in terms of people coming out of E3 and being like, oh my God, did you see that?
Yeah. Well,
are we going to ruin things if we say this? Like, the thing that I would guess is something I don't even know if it's confirmed or not. So
we can beep it out.
We can beep it out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the type of thing that like the Final Fantasy VII Remake announcement would be.
Yeah, well... Actually, what I'm hearing now is that isn't going to be shown.
Really?
So you don't need to beep that out?
Well, a rumor that appeared in EGM 2 months ago isn't going to actually be true instead.
Oh, we wrote a story
about that.
Wait a minute,
so rumors are just rumors? I mean, you didn't have that written in, like,
No, well, the
gold
rumor for EGM was something different, because we covered it at one of
these. Yeah, and you got in trouble for that.
Yeah,
and
we did.
Turns out I think it's going to actually be true.
Yeah,
so,
that rumor was the Final Fantasy 13 PS3 exclusive announcement.
Yeah, we'll see.
We published the story already. I'm reporting on the reporting.
You're reporting on the reporting.
It's some meta shit.
I mean, so I think the most press is going to be Wii, but I think the best game, which you're not asking, but I do think the best game at E3 will be The Legend of Zelda, The Twilight Princess.
All right, so back to what we wanted to see, though.
Is it a GameCube game or is it a Wii game?
I can't really talk about that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, he's doing that again.
That's nice. So as far as what we want to see, John, what do you want to see? What do you want to see? So we talked about like what's going to be best and all that, but what do you want to see at the show?
I'm kind of with Shane. I want to go to the Nintendo booth and pick up the controller and try some of this stuff. I'm intrigued. And then I'm really interested in some of the like things like Too Human and Mass Effect and Forza, if that's definitely happening.
It looks like they're going to show Shadowrun, which I'm very surprised.
Really?
I kept curious what they're going to do with this game, and then now they're like, there's a teaser image out.
Yeah, the teaser art looks like the shadow silhouette
all
stuff.
All I've heard about this game is like poisonous press, and like if it is good, I'll be really happy and surprised because I like Shadowrun.
Well, they've probably been working on long. I mean, think about when was the last time Facet did anything?
I heard it's done. I heard the game is done.
They've been working on it forever.
Yeah, MechWarrior 2 is last thing. Well, whatever it is.
I hope Warhawk's playable. I loved Warhawk on PS1 so much.
John, yeah.
It is.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
That'll be fun. Luke, what do you want to go play?
I really am excited to see all the changes to World of Warcraft and see like the talent revamps. I think that's going to be
I heard there's a new kind of like horse and maybe a new type of bush.
Armor.
Maybe a new bird.
You in the bush always. But yeah, the new World of Warcraft.
I thought he was going to say something about getting his hand on a Wii.
A bunch of MMO stuff too. Like I really want to see where that's going.
There are so many MMOs.
It's
this
a
year.
New thing. It's a thing. Actually, this year.
Do you think it's going to be oversaturated?
I'm interested in seeing Insane Huxley up and running. I've only really seen little bits of it.
It sounds so ambitious, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very ambitious.
And I was going to jump in earlier when you guys were talking about Microsoft sort of bringing parity to its Xbox Live and PC gaming arms, because that's going to sort of do it, mm-hmm. I guess, is what they're hoping, right, to have that sort of those worlds intersect.
Actually, I mean, beyond Huxley, I think Websen just as a company is... They're going to be a player. They have
that Sony published MMO for PS3. I don't know if it's actually playable there. I don't think it is. But
now that's
making...
not Sun, right? That it's a different one on PS3.
Right. Yeah. It's called like
Rise and Legend and something else in the title.
Endless Saga.
That's it.
And then today, didn't like Codemasters announced an MMO?
Actually, I knew about though. The Archlord game.
Yeah.
I knew about that.
The concept on that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I like that it's a world that one person like sort of gets to dictate. Like, I'm into that.
Oh, that's
interesting. Can I get
in? Yeah, you get to be God for a month. And like, cool. You sort of fight for your right to remain God.
There's apparently a Jack and Daxter MMO for PS3. That's what I heard.
Are you fucking kidding?
I don't know. It's a rumor. We'll see.
Okay, that's not a good way to do MMO.
Yeah, that's definitely not a good way.
That's not so cool.
Crash Bandicoot, the MMO.
Yeah, like Vanguard, I still want to see, because Vanguard, there's a real good chance that Vanguard will be like a really sort of intense, difficult, challenging MMO.
So that's really
scratched. You can just scratch the chance off of there. It is absolutely over the top, whatever Quest 2 should have been. I mean,
but I want to see MMOs that aren't fantasy. It's one of the reasons I'm interested in Huxley is that it's not fantasy and it doesn't lean on RPG conventions.
Tabula Rasa?
Different. But isn't that kind of, well, yeah.
Because Garriott tore it apart and now it's all super fan. It's all like super into future sci-fi stuff.
Cool. Okay.
I'd like to see more sci-fi MMO stuff. I'd be into that. Less dragons, more lasers.
from what I've seen, Tabula Rasa, it looks like Planet Side, but made into an MMO.
Good.
So
then Mass Effect, I'm excited to see too.
Yeah, Mass Effect.
Really excited. Here it's playable, and here it's really good. So
good.
And to see if BioWare can get that whole like 30 frames per second thing down.
good luck.
Nice.
With that one. Good luck.
Is that slowdown? Oh, whoops.
Yeah. Huh,
I think there are a lot of little games too that we don't even know about or even think about that are going to be under the radar and awesome at E3. So it's going to be tough to find.
Is there going to be anything on Crisis Core? Do you know?
I think
that game still exists?
Yeah, it does still exist. I think there's going to be like a trailer, but it's still like next fall.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So potentially we'll be able to play the real Final Fantasy VII on PSP before the follow-up.
Probably. Well, we'll see. Because January is the 10th anniversary of Final Fantasy VII in Japan. So
Interesting.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing Enemy Territory Quake Wars. That looks really awesome.
We get to see what a mega texture actually is.
And I'm dying to actually be able to hold a mouse and play the damn thing and stop talking about it. So that's going to be really cool. And then I'm a car head, so I mean, I got to do the old comparison Forza and Gran Turismo.
I hear Gran Turismo wipes up with it.
So really? That's awesome. I mean, I would love that.
Yeah, I think the fact that they'll have it, they can have it running on dual like giant 16:9 1080p screens like together. Dude, you saw like that. You can play
best
it, like,
damn
side
thing
by
that
side.
Ever happened to Gran Turismo was Forza, because it pushed them to start innovating again. Yeah. It pushed them to say, oh crap, we really have to push this thing again.
You know, this reminds me. Did you guys see that interview with Peter Moore where he was like openly talking about the competition? That was kind of funny.
No, what are you talking about?
It was on GameDaily.biz maybe.
Anyway,
there's an interview with Peter Moore and he was talking about how PS3, it has too many features and will confuse people. And
what?
And that Wii is too weird, and it's not the kind of innovation that pushes it forward, whereas like Xbox Live is the kind of innovation that pushes gaming forward. It was really outspoken. It was just an interesting interview.
Which is unusual these days. I hope there's a lot of that next week, because it will make reporting on E3 really interesting.
Yeah, if people are willing to talk openly about the competition, because this is the
E3. Peter, if you're doing that, you might look into getting some counseling, because that's a pretty defensive position.
When Bill Gates says he wants to keep Google honest, I thought that was a really funny quote.
Could help him with some sharing caregivers or something.
It's interesting you say that, because like a year ago, Google was like the wonder company that could do no wrong, and now it's the sinister bad guy.
It's a sinister bad guy to every multinational who's being defeated by them.
Yeah. You know? But the sort of public perception is starting to shift.
It's like this whole American culture thing, and we love the underdog, though. So
that's true. That's why, 360 is underdog.
All right, next week.
Underdog.
Next week, during the week, we'll give updates throughout the week of what we're thinking already as we're going of, hey, what's the best thing we're seeing? What do we think is going to be game of the show?
What's complete shit?
What's complete crap? We will definitely have we'll have Shane's corner of shit.
No, I'm all positive. Talk to Luke about the shit.
I think I'll be like locked in a room writing a lot. I don't know that I'll get to get elbows deep in the shit, really.
We'll let you elbows deep just in order to help keep the show fresh. John will be out there, too. I'll be out there. And if you guys are posted on the boards, we'll be able to pull that in. We'll speculate with you guys as well.
Don't we have some party thing? Like, we have that one up?
I'm thinking
with the party having one of the recorders.
Because there'll be anybody who's everybody.
Yeah.
Be there. Yeah,
I don't mean the Ziff party. I mean for the users. We have the community party, too, the next week.
We don't talk to those guys.
Right?
We're doing the audio. You know,
2:00 on Thursday, right?
Yeah. We'll be there and we'll drag you in.
Oh, we should definitely do that. That's awesome. All right, so there's another opportunity to get
be on one up yours.
Be on one up yours.
Scary prospect.
It's kind of a scary prospect. All right, so we'll be back in a minute. We'll get into some of the new stuff, including the promised Al-Qaeda update.
Radio PM. It's the wide world of PlayStation squeezed into 30 minutes, delivered oven fresh every Monday, completely free of charge, via 1UP and the iTunes Music Store. Listen to the editors of the official U.S. PlayStation magazine as they redirect years of pent-up video game violence. Trainwreck or masterpiece? Tune in to find out at radiopm.1UP.com.
Back for Luke's news segment, and I won't introduce him with any of the silly sound effects since those didn't go over so well last week. So, anyway.
The first thing that I think everyone at the table has something to say about, and I know John definitely does, is that Oblivion was re-rated by the ESRB this week, and the rating was changed because of the people are calling it like hot coffee too. The topless mod, which you had up on game videos, and you may have downloaded it and checked it out there, and it's a mod for the PC version that a user created that essentially removed the bra function from Oblivion. So you have like topless tiger women. And so the ESRB, in reaction to that, re-rated the game M for mature. And also, kind of a weird twist to it, was that they also re-rated the Xbox 360 version of the game, which is unchanged by the mod, but they said that they noticed more excessive gore and violence this time.
Look, you know what? The ESRB is done. You can just stick a damn fork in them, because they're so far into defensive mode now that they're never going to dig out of it.
Shows how they do games, and what happens is you send a reel of what you believe as a publisher to be the most defensive bits, and they like look at it and then suggest. So if they don't see, they don't play the games, they just look at the reel.
They have some guys that play the games a bit, if you talk to them about it. There is, but that's not the same. The idea is it's supposed to be like anyone that they drag in off the street and watch the video and look at the sheet.
But my point is that they've lost it. They've lost their backbone. They are in total damage.
They just cave under any pressure.
We better rewrite that.
Potential pressure. I mean, are you aware of any pressure being exerted about this damn topless thing?
Nope.
It was just fear.
Imagine if the MPAA reacted the same way every time someone said something about a movie. We would have lost R into some sort of pseudo X rating years ago. Years ago.
I mean, the MPAA is not the paragon of brilliance that we should be like judging.
But the problem with Oblivion is that it shouldn't have been a T in the first place.
Yes.
I mean, irrespective of any booby content, there's some gruesome stuff in it. There are missions in the game where you have to kill someone's entire bloodline, and there's like corpses dangling in cages, and
I thought the rule was like realistic blood and violence, which that game has, is mature.
And Bethesda declared that.
Yeah.
And they made it clear yesterday in a statement that you have to submit a report when you submit your game to the ESRB about the content and about the violent content and the goriness, and they declared it up front, and the ESRB give it a T, which just exposes the ESRB's system to all kinds of doubt. And then, you know, today we have Leland Yee has, of course, made a statement about it.
My boy.
Luke's boy.
What's up, Leland?
He said, the ESRB has shown that they cannot police themselves. Plain and simply, the current rating system is drastically flawed, and here is yet another reason why we need legislation to assist parents and protect children. Ignoring the last part of that sentence, which I think he just needs to stop.
By the way, we have to talk about that in a minute. We can't ignore that.
We have to talk about legislation. We don't need legislation. We just need a system that works. How about try playing the damn things? I mean, I've heard the excuses. We can't honestly be expected to play every game all the way through. You do not need to play Oblivion all the way through to see that it's gory. And I don't know. I mean, like, if they sent video, I mean, there's, like, people twatting each other with swords in the videos. And there's, like, if there's anything from the arena, there's blood all over the floor. It's pretty damn gory. So what were they doing? And now saying, oh, yeah, we're changing the rating because of the tits. It's a disgrace. Oh, and we found some gore that we didn't know about previously. Well, you're not paying attention.
You know the answer to that.
But what it does, though, is it makes me wonder, to your gas prices, conspiracy theory. It's like when George Lucas makes the Star Wars movie. Aside from what's going into the game or what's going into the film, he can get a PG rating on it pretty much no matter what he wants. Yeah. He could have, if he wanted to, release Return of the Sith as PG just by his power over the MPAA. And it makes me wonder if there's something else more nefarious at work here that slanted that rating score for Oblivion.
But that logic's flawed because the biggest selling game ever is an M.
Yeah.
I mean, GTA, I understand the logic with movies that the lower the rating, the bigger your potential audience. There's proof that that doesn't matter in games. M didn't hold back any of the GTAs.
Right. What it does matter with M and Teen is where you can advertise. Like, you can't advertise maturity games in some magazines or during some programming.
Right. But again, Oblivion, I mean, really, I mean, it's in terms of taste, it's not exactly broad.
Right.
Unless you're trying to position it as a Lord of the Rings type thing, which they never did.
Right. And I don't believe that Bethesda or even Microsoft would do, like, it would pull some shady stuff.
I still think that there's more to it than what we're getting at.
I don't know. I'd say, to me, there's two things that work here. Number one, the ESRB is done because you cannot second guess if you're in the public eye as the ratings authority. You cannot put a rating out there and then say, oh, well, we can just arbitrarily.
The statement was positioned as a parental advisory. Right. Did you see the thing they sent out? It's a parental advisory because, you know, of this mod that exposes boobies, oh, and this other stuff.
So between hot coffee and this now, there is no one who's ever going to walk in and look at a rating and feel remotely comfortable in its authority. They're going to say, you know what? They may have gotten this shit wrong. They may have screwed up this one just like they screwed up that one and screwed up that one. So that's done.
If you look at the history of game ratings, and, you know, we're policing ourselves. This is not enforced.
Mm-hmm.
It's not official, really. It's just like it's how it is because this is the way we started doing it, but it's definitely not official.
Right, and so then that comes to point number two, which addresses Leland Yee's things. Read that sentence to me again.
He goes on, actually, and talks about them. So he says, the current rating system is drastically flawed, and here is yet another reason why we need legislation to assist parents and protect children.
Okay, that's the problem right there. Legislation cannot help parents do their jobs. The only thing that can help them do their jobs is for them to do their damn jobs.
And he goes on, unlike the movie industry's rating board, which reviews the entire content of a film, the ESRB rates games based on very limited viewing of the game and relies almost entirely on information provided to them by the game manufacturer. Which, I mean, these guys, I mean, they're threatened with penalties and whatever the hell it is that they get threatened with. I mean, I guess your game being taken off sale if they don't submit stuff. And what Bethesda did this week is they said, look, we did all that. You know? They didn't come out and say it, but from the way that it was phrased in their statement, they thought it was going to be an M. And it was a T, and, you know, fair enough. Okay, that's what it is.
Because they will sell more copies as a teen. That probably is true.
Right.
Probably, because will be parents that do their thing. But, I mean, of all the people here at the table, John is a parent. That's how would you, in the scheme of all the things that you do during the day.
I do not play Oblivion in front of my kids.
And how big a responsibility is raising your kids to you?
Let me think.
No, but we have to ask the damn question.
On next week's episode of Totally Obvious.
I know, but apparently we have to ask the question because Leland Yee's telling us, well, we might need legislation to help John figure out how to raise his kid.
Well, it's like these ads on TV that, you know, try talking to your children.
Yeah, try it.
At the end of the day, do we
look into that
personally oppose, like, if game ratings were enforced the way MPAA is enforced? Which is, you know, not, it is enforced, but not, like, incredibly strongly.
I I honestly don't have a problem with it. I mean, I'm from England, where the BBFC rating is enforced, and the 18 rating is on movies and on games. They use the same system on both. And if you sell an 18 rated game to someone under 18, it's the same kind of penalty if you sell cigarettes to someone underage.
So actually, I thought about this, and the reason I get vehement about it is not because I care one way or the other whether it's enforced. It's because people have this perception right now that making some kind of legal system is going to solve the problem, and it's not going to change a damn thing. Well, because it hasn't changed anything at the box office. Are you telling me that 15-year-old kids don't see our movies?
It's harder.
It's not what the ESRB is. It's how the ESRB does it. And they can legislate, and it can be some different organization. But unless they come up with a different system. It's going to be just as broken. You have to have an army of people sitting down and playing these things and getting through them, as much of them as possible.
Right. Again, the MPAA,
not a
perfect example, but are you telling me that they don't watch every movie that comes out?
They do watch the movies.
Oh, we couldn't watch every movie before it came out.
They're pretty, their guidelines are pretty strict, and people work around them and know what's expected. Whereas in gaming, it is kind of, you're sometimes just surprised by what
it
is.
To see everything in Oblivion or World of Warcraft, yes, it's huge. But you can, if you sit down and play either of those games for 10 hours.
Yeah, 10 hours.
Yeah.
You're going to have a pretty good idea of. But then, I mean, and then you legislate, and then it's defining those things and saying that, every game is played for. I mean, it has to get more specific. But I think the days of sitting down and watching a video and looking at a form that says, this has boobies and swearing and blood in it. Okay, it's an M. It's got to be more than that.
Yep, and when that system's established, then people will have confidence again, like they don't have in the ESRB right now, because it won't be second-guessed, because it'll be authoritative.
And it needs to grow some balls, for God's sake. Obviously, it wouldn't be able to tell anyone or show anyone about them, but,
Right.
Because that would be,
But it still needs balls. Definitely. All right.
Well, I guess I should have led with it, but you guys just kind of went with that. We can turn off the bleeping thing. The DS Lite is June 11th. That's $129.
Which is cheaper than what people thought it would be.
Totally cheaper than what we thought it would be. Because I was bitching for the last 3 weeks about if it was $150 that I wouldn't buy it. But that magic $20 reduction, what's up? Yeah. What's up, Power White? Whatever it's called, I'll get one.
$20? What,
white,
Sony?
White Power? What?
No. It's like the color of it's like Power White or Powder.
Pre-orders and stuff are open, right?
I believe so.
So what the hell am I going to do with my Japanese white regular DS?
Your Japanese, it's no longer cool.
I suggest giving it to your mom with a copy of Brain Drainer.
Yeah.
Range.
You know, she can actually have mine.
How much did you drop on that? Come on, how much?
It was like $190. All right, well, anyway, I blame it on Jeremy, damn it. It's all Frog's fault.
He'll buy anything that's, like, creamy white. That was going to go badly. Wow. I started the sentence.
What about Al-Qaeda? Wow.
Bring the Al-Qaeda.
Well, Skip sent this out yesterday, and apparently Al-Qaeda is using a Battlefield 2 mod as sort of like their own version of America's Army.
Like
essentially,
simulator?
Yeah, it's like a training simulator. Nice. So guns and keyboard and mouse, and it's all going together. So I guess we should expect something on that front.
EA's already responded. Did you see EA's response? They said that basically it's like drawing a mustache on a magazine ad. I'm like, wait, huh?
I think that was to...
Gas prices?
No, that was about this. It was Jeremy who blogged saying that drawing boobies on a picture of Jessica Alba in People magazine makes people a porn magazine.
Right.
Yeah, I think I put that in
the
stories. Yeah, so... Is the ESRB going to change? Are they going to make it like, we're banning Battlefield 2 because it is the agent of terror? Are we going to see that?
Graceful, isn't it?
It's a threat.
Here comes
W. American way of life.
Man, we're going to try to do the soundbite stuff.
Does that mean we're going to invade Redwood Shores?
Probably.
I wonder if EA has an army suitable to defend itself.
We talked with Matt Atwood, the director of PR for NOA earlier this week. He was kind enough to sit down and talk to us about... the Nintendo Wii, because we had a bunch of developers who were kind enough to go 100% off the record and anonymous to tell us about what they thought about the Nintendo Wii. And here's one of their quotes, which is kind of interesting. This is from this developer at a large North American publisher. Thumbs down, as far as I'm concerned. I think they, that's Nintendo, just needed an easy-to-remember name that wasn't already trademarked. I heard that they didn't want it to sound like a gaming machine in the same way that iPod doesn't necessarily sound like a music player. I'll say that they at least succeeded at that. But at the same time, 3 months from now, will we be able to say Wii with a straight face? I wasn't a big fan of 360 either, but now I don't think twice. we had, like, there was some good feedback and there was some negative feedback. And then Matt, I was talking with Matt about it, and he was talking about how Nintendo wants to position the Wii as a new generation console instead of a next generation console. And
so what do you got queued up for us there, Skip? You got some commentary from Matt? Roll it.
That's exactly what we want. We are not next generation. This is not a next generation system. It is a new generation system.
So wait, Luke, what was your response when you heard this?
That Nintendo was new generation instead of next generation? I thought it would be a good quote. I don't necessarily...
You thought it would, that's one of those slow pitches down the middle,
yeah,
isn't
it? The thing about like trying to dictate, because what sort of spawned the question was that we're getting all this PR for right now, like the pre-E3 PR, and it's like this game from Sega coming to next generation platforms, and then later in the release it's like coming to Xbox 360 and PS3. Well, what the hell? You're kind of like, is the Revolution / Wii not, are you not considering this next gen? So for me, that was problematic that it wasn't being classified that way from a development and a PR perspective. So I wanted to get Nintendo's perspective on that, and I was actually shocked when he was like, we don't care about being next gen because we're a new generation of gaming. And I was like, okay.
Worked for Pepsi?
Yeah, I know. Crystal Pepsi, delish. And we talked a little bit further about how like the perception of technology plays into what defines next generation and new generation. I think that Nintendo is a little out of touch with what is going to define next generation to your average consumer. To us, it may make sense. The Nintendo Wii is a new way to play games, and it will probably be something new, and it will probably be something fun. But how are you going to get that to penetrate other markets?
Shane, you said you were going to the Nintendo booth right off the bat. You call it bullshit, right, or not?
No, I think it's legitimate. I think the name, the focus, the gameplay, everything is very different than Xbox 60 and PlayStation 3. Nintendo wants you to not have no confusion this November when you go to a store. It's not like, oh, which one does my kid want? Mm-hmm. They're all the same. No, there are two that are the same, and there's one that's completely, utterly different, and that is.
But I think part of the sort of misguided part of it is if they want the support. I mean, the industry is built on one franchise being cut multiple ways.
Right.
And what they want to do is encourage people to develop completely new things for Wii. But then the only way they can do that is from a position of strength, which they don't have.
Well, but they do have this, they have a really good opportunity because in Japan, Nintendo DS is so amazingly popular. Like,
right.
Unbelievably popular.
Now you've switched platforms.
No, I'm not, because those people, those millions of people who are making DS a huge, like, a monster success in Japan will make Nintendo Wii a monster success in Japan.
Okay, but a monstrous success
in Japan. What that means is we'll have a lot of exclusive, good third-party Japanese games for Wii, which we didn't have for GameCube.
Is that
even in this current generation? There's not a great track record for Japanese games making the jump to America.
What are you talking about?
You get to see a lot of the hits, right? But how many PS2 titles stay in Japan?
How many of the top 10 best-selling games of the generation are Japanese?
Okay,
like half of them, you know?
Right, no, I get that. But what I'm saying is it's not going to fill out an entire library.
Well, no,
you're
going to
get the hits.
But look at the Western games we're already seeing from like Ubisoft. And
right.
Like Activision's very committed. Like EA's committed. It's not like there aren't going to be original games from Western developers as well on Wii. Yeah.
So how much does the technology matter? I mean, because that's an important question, right? Visuals are a big deal to us. Obviously, that's been a big deciding factor. Matt had a couple of comments about that, didn't he?
Technology, no, we're not afraid of it. In fact, we're leading it. So it's just your perception of technology because of what has been the norm for so many years is different than what technology. The best technology is the stuff you didn't think of.
So wait, let me see if I got this right. They're in first place in the technology race as far as they can see it. I think there's a word in the dictionary for that. It's called what, myopia?
No, they're choosing a different battle.
Yeah, but what Matt just said was he talked about your perception in Nintendo's whole Wii marketing. What they're doing right now with the name, with the sort of like alternative game experience it's going to offer you, is they're trying to change your perception. And you know what? There's a good chance that perceptual change that they want isn't going to take. There's a it's the Wii. The
it's
name
risky.
Is alienating.
It's all very risky.
It's their disruptive tech. Well, sometimes when you try to disrupt shit, you get disrupted and you finish in third place.
Yep. I kind of sort of see what you're going at, because earlier we were talking about high def DVDs not catching on yet, but high def TVs are now catching on, and as high def TVs catch on, people are going to want high def stuff to see on it. 360,
well,
PS3.
I mean, I think I have a good analogy here. 2 years ago, we looked at like two consoles. One was the PSP and it was had the best graphics. It was the most sophisticated portable system we'd ever seen. Nintendo puts out the DS. We're like, what is this? It's like a gimmick. It's stupid. It has bad graphics. What are they doing? Dead on arrival. Look what happened.
And we were wrong there.
You're all wrong.
And I will say, from having actually finally gotten to play around with the controller, it happened to be the nunchuck version that I was messing around with the game with.
I think you're under NDA.
I'm not saying the game. I'm not saying anything else. Okay, I'm just going to say that I was really, really impressed.
That you got to play with the Wii.
You can't talk about that.
But I think
it was awesome.
Too many disruptions. It's disruptive technology, disruptive design, disruptive name. They need something for people to hang on to. The name was the easy one.
You know people can hang on to? Mario.
Right. No, fuck Mario. Nintendo can't sit and just keep riding that. They just cannot continue to pimp its first parties when it does so many things from a marketing perspective and so many things. It's doing so many things that are obtuse and
are you
wrong.
Saying that if Microsoft or Sony had Mario, they wouldn't be using it? You're retarded.
Well,
you're an idiot.
Everybody on the forums knows that.
If that's your reason, like if that's really what you want, is you really can't. You can't, you know, not live a generation right. without playing Mario games.
We had some interesting feedback from what we were talking about last week on the boards. And a lot of it came to do with them trying to expand their market and getting more mainstream and how the name can be distracting for that as well. And a bunch of people had said, hey, you know, if I'm going to get my parents into this game and I get my parents into this console, when I tell them what it's called, they think I'm kidding. You know, and it's, you know, it comes up a lot. I mean, like a lot of the, I mean, there was a lot of, not fanboy, but sort of people are starting to get quite protective of it. But that came up a lot. It's like, this is really difficult. Yeah. It's not a word.
I've had friends who've been like pimping it to their friends all along, and now they have to like tell them what it's called Wii, and it's like a difficult thing to
do. Hey, mom, after dinner, can I go play with my Wii?
Right. Well, the thing is too, like Nintendo wants to have it both ways. They want to have this new and unique word that, you know, you've never seen before. It's Wii. It's controllers. The eyes are controllers, and it's awesome.
So after all that craziness, I'm going to go out on a limb right here and say Wii is going to totally rock E3.
Yeah, nothing will make me happier than on this
it's going to totally rock
Wednesday
it.
Of E3, Luke to come on this show and be like, you know what, Shane? I was wrong.
No, I'm not going to say I was wrong because I haven't said it's going to suck. I've criticized Nintendo for positioning it the way they've positioned it. As far as if you want to like look and try and, you know, I haven't said it's going to suck. I've said it should be cheap. I've said that the way Nintendo's positioning it is not a way that I would have positioned it coming into a console race in third place. Like John pointed out, like they've been disruptive in three facets. Had they tried to find common ground with the other consoles in one of them, it's easier to market to middle America. As far as like the people in this room getting one, like that's preaching to the choir. We'll all have one. Mm-hmm. We'll have like, you know.
But they've already said that's not what they want.
Right.
So they want to expand, but they certainly don't seem to be moving in the right direction to do it.
Well, we'll have a lot to talk about, I'm sure, starting this direction on Monday night. We'll have our first E3 show from LA.
What are we going to be talking about?
I don't know. What do we think we're talking about?
It's on Monday. Yeah, oh, Sony's
what's on
Monday.
Yeah, it's a Sony
Sony
conference.
On Monday.
Yeah, I was trying to, like,
I thought you were going to say.
No. I meant, I was just letting, you know, letting
so
the
listeners
know.
So, expect Monday night about
Sony.
30 to 45 minutes of PS3
well,
stuff.
It's also Sony, yep. Square Enix, and Activision all have conferences that day.
Okay.
So. Yep, so we'll have plenty to bring you on Monday evening. We also have an awesome site you should check out where we'll be hubbing all of our E3 coverage. It's e3.oneup.com. It's an easy place to get to. You'll be able to see videos and blogs from us, reports from the show floor, all that kind of stuff. And of course, we'll be checking the message boards. So until next week, where we'll see you from LA, we're out. This has been One Up Yours, a production of the Ziff Davis Game Group and part of the One Up Network. One Up Yours is hosted by Garnet Lee and John Davison, produced by Andrew Pfister and Mike Ng, and is published every Friday afternoon via the iTunes Music Store and from its home at oneup.com.